Delegation. My questions are on Article 5 and 6. And the committee notes the state party's development in national legislation and policy, as well as its institutional framework for the promotion of gender equality. And you, Minister, have explained many new and important laws on the issues that I will address. And we already heard many developments on all areas of the convention. However, a marked contrast persists between the legal guarantees and practice on an executional level, especially regarding the issues I will address. On Article 5, there is a high persistence of sexism and gender stereotypes at the societal and institutional levels. My colleague, Madam Emmeline, has mentioned this in her opening questions. The delegation has already given an overview of policies and trainings, yet several reports show that both the national strategies on gender-based violence and gender equality lack an operational plan to set out the details of its implementation, including the necessary resources. And let me point out in particular to the decision of the European Court on Human Rights in the case versus Italy of 2021. So my questions are, what efforts does the state party make towards enacting the comprehensive strategy with proactive and sustained measures to eliminate patriarchal attitudes and gender stereotypes, including allocating sufficient funding and cooperating with all regional levels of governance? What concrete trainings are in place for the judiciary and throughout the layers of the judicial system? What measures are in place to combat gender stereotypes, in particular trans women and girls and women and girls with disabilities? And how will the IAP and the National Communication Authority play a role in this? Furthermore, can the state party clarify how they are handling the gender bias and stereotyping that is commonly associated with biometric and surveillance systems? The committee is concerned about the high levels of violence against women, the tolerance of domestic violence, and the lack of systematic approach to tackle this. We heard this morning that the state party is improving the data collection on gender-based violence, and this is commendable and necessary. The law does, however, not include data on civil proceedings, and it is not clear how the state party will evaluate the impact of the Cartabia reform changes in family law on gender-based violent cases. There are concerns that the Cartabia reform will impact women's rights in civil matters in relation to the violence. What kind of data will be collected, and will they be public? How will cases of child shared custody in cases of allegation of violence be assessed? And how many cases of injury in a family with prognosis within 40 days were declared dismissed for the lack of report by the woman after the Cartabia reform? And the number of complaints remains low and the risk of double victimization is very real. What initiatives can be strengthened at the national and local levels to address this? There have been an alarming number of femicides in Italy. In 2022, the Senate approved the creation of a parliamentary commission of inquiry into femicide and all forms of gender violence. Can the state party tell the committee about the findings of this commission and the changes in policy and prevention proposed and executed? Where does the specialization in the judiciary on cases of violence stand? Does the increase in the number of judges and the reform of legal procedures include enhanced initial and ongoing training in the field of combating violence? That concludes my questions on Article 5, and my questions on Article 6 are the following. Italy is at the forefront of the reception of refugees, often vulnerable women and girls, not just as a first reception, but also as a result of Dublin III decisions of other countries. Many of these women were trafficked during several parts of their journey. We have heard this morning that a substantial budget has been set aside for the fight against trafficking, and yet I do have questions on specifically the actual application of the policies and the funds. How does the state party guarantee these women's access to protection in all circumstances, irrespective of the place of arrival? Does the State Party allow the presence of NGOs during interviews with trafficked persons to assist them? How does the State Party ensure individualized risk assessment is conducted before forced removals and that the authorities assess the risks of trafficking or re-trafficking on return? The Plan of Action Against Trafficking of 2022-2025 was recently approved. However, implementation is hampered by an anti-migration approach, and trafficking indicators are often not detected among asylum seekers. The absence of comprehensive vulnerability screenings and early identification systems at hotspots and reception centers remain the key reason for concern. How will the State Party implement an identification and referral system throughout Italy and consistently strengthen the capacity of the reception system? How will the State Party be more proactive in the reception and identification of victims? Nigerian women and unaccompanied Nigerian minors remain extremely vulnerable to trafficking because of the continued operation of organized Nigerian trafficking networks. Traffickers continue to subject Nigerian women and girls to sex trafficking through debt-based coercion and voodoo rituals. Does the National Action Plan foresee in specific investigative tools to uncover these practices? A slowdown in reports to the police and subsequently in investigations on cases of human trafficking has been noted. This often also involves victims of prostitution, but remains on the margin of investigations. If women do not have proper documents, they are quickly sent back to their country of origin. How does the State Party aim to solve the serious diminishing of investigation, prosecution, and punishment of cases of trafficking in persons, especially women and girls? The government identified very few children, less than 2%, as trafficked victims. In 2022, authorities and NGOs reported the increased use of private residences and online platforms, which hinder the identification of sex trafficking victims. Also, adult women who engage in indoor or web-based prostitution will not be easily identified as trafficking victims. Is the State Party taking measures to increase the number of identified children? What measures has the State Party put in place to monitor and combat indoor and web-based prostitution, both of minors and adult women? Are assistance and support mechanisms for women wishing to exit prostitution operational, and what is the impact of the offense of solicitation? Thank you, Madam Chair. These were my questions.
Muchas gracias, señora.